Well, family, guess what I'm going to talk about this afternoon? You all having a good work ethic. Not exactly, but it is incorporated within this message. You know, as a child growing up, children who grow up and they have both parents in their homes, it's a blessing. It's also a great benefit. One of the great benefits of having both parents in the home when you're growing up as a child is your mom. They have a way of making for sure that you understand the basics of taking care of a home. I grew up in a house with my aunt and my grandmother. My mother gave me away at birth, but she kept me in the family. She gave me to her sister, so I still got to know everybody moving forward. But my aunt made for sure that I could cook, sew, clean the house, clean my room. See, it wasn't just cleaning my room. I had to clean the house. You know, so I would have rather cleaned my room. But no, the teachings were, you're going to learn how to take care of home. So I learned those things from her. My grandmother loved to quilt. Believe it or not, I know something about quilting. You know, those big, long saw horses laying out there and the big slats on there and the quilt rolled out and she's down there just sewing away. I learned that. I'm not going to do it today, but I did learn that. I could do it if I have to. And in her thinking, you as a boy growing up to become a man need to learn to take care of yourself and not depend on someone else to take care of you. Of course, that made it kind of difficult when I got married, because my wife expected me to do exactly what my mother said. And she just sat back and enjoyed it. We both did. But that benefit from mom showed the sacrifices of being a mother, giving birth to her children, loving her children. We learned that from them. That is a big bonus, is a big plus. Household that has a father in it, the children learn a work ethic. They learn the value of working. They learn the value of taking care of a home financially. They learn the values of sacrificing themselves for their family. You don't see a lot of that today. It's all about me, myself, and I. But a home that has both mother and father, the children learn some very unique values about becoming an adult. Now, granted, with me growing up in a house of females, it was a kind of a one-sided deal. I learned what it was like being a female to some degree. But yet, that balance wasn't there. So the concern was, when I became a man and I got married, I didn't have that example of a father. Now, I use myself in this illustration because many of us didn't grow up in a house with two parents. Some of us grew up in a house with just one parent. And maybe some of us grew up in a house with no parent at all. We lived with a relative. And that's happened, and that's not uncommon. But yet, is the fact that we didn't grow up with both parents indicative of what kind of life we're going to have? Not actually. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. You know, there were a lot of great benefits for me growing up in the house with females. I learned how to love. I learned how to respect females. People on my job still don't understand that. You know, well, she talked to you a certain way. Well, she may have problems. She may have issues. She may have concerns. But having that understanding, that compassion, that is one gift that I am very thankful for, especially having a wife and raising four daughters. Very thankful for that understanding. Because with girls, it's always, why not? You don't understand me. you just don't get it, Dad. And I sit there patiently and I let them know I do understand. I do get it. But the answer is still no. So I need you to get it. I need you to understand it. But in having five children, four girls and one boy, you know, people always ask, well, why'd you have so many kids? Five children, not a lot of kids. And the reason I did is because I knew that I was going to make a mistake because I knew nothing about raising a child. I didn't have a father that raised me and showed me love and compassion and forgiveness and understanding. I didn't have that. So when my first daughter was born, I was there when she was born, and I was totally afraid, scared to death. As I held that child in my hand, I looked down at my daughter and I told her, right now you're probably thinking who I am. I've got to tell you because I'm the one that's going to really mess things up in your life. Because I have no idea what I'm doing. None whatsoever. And so I'm talking to this little girl and she's looking up and she's making these little eyes at me and she's smiling. And I'm sitting here scared to death. I have no idea what I'm doing. Now I've got two other lives to be responsible for. What do I do? How do I do these things? You know, family, I think in growing up, one of the things that probably got me the most was not having a father around to look at me and to say, son, I'm proud of you. You did something right. You did something well. I'm proud of you. I used to go to the school where my children attended for various meetings. And I would go in some of their classrooms and I would see all the work that all the other kids would do. And those of you who raise children, you moms are so loving. You know, they can bring home the most hideous painting. And you all tell them things like, oh, that is so wonderful. Oh, you did such a good job. And you're wrong for that. I mean, you look at that and you hang in the refrigerator. And it's like, why are you torturing me? You know, but you all, you tell them wonderful things about that painting. I went in one classroom, I think it was my son, and my son could do better. I told my wife, you've got to work harder with him. You're at home with him. You've got to work harder with him. Did you see that thing he drew and they put up in the classroom? She says, oh, give him time. He's going to do better. I'm like, babe, that's embarrassing. Did you see what all the other kids did? And this is embarrassing. No, just give him time. And so that learning continued. It continued for me. And so it was about maybe a year or two later, I had a meeting with the principal of the school. Now, it didn't have anything to do with any of my kids, but we were going to have a series of meetings about things to get the kids, not just my kids, but all the kids, involved in some type of after-school program. The first meeting, I walked into the building, and there was this puma. This thing was probably about maybe 4 or 5 feet long and probably about 3 to 4 feet wide. And I saw that puma. I thought, wow, you know, whoever drew that, that is just awesome. Beautifully done. Very detailed. After a few weeks, I was talking to the principal. I said, hey, I said, at the end of the school year, don't throw that away. I said, I'd like to have that. And she says, oh, Mr. Holmes, he says, absolutely, it's yours. I said, oh, thank you so much. I said, because I want to hang that up in my house. I said, I'm going to build a frame around it, and I'm going to hang it up in my house. She said, Mr. Holmes, it's not a problem. I said, well, I really appreciate that. I know you probably want to keep it for yourselves. Just no. We want you to have it. And I'm thinking, wow, great. I appreciate that. We want you to have it because your son drew that. You know, same kid who had this goofy little picture on the wall that I was kind of embarrassed by. Drew this? He says, yes, your son drew that puma. And we were so impressed with it, we hung it up. And when you walk into the school, that's one of the first things you saw was that puma on the wall. My son did that. Man, I tell you, I was standing on cloud nine. And when I got home, there's nothing that kid could have done wrong that would have affected how I felt at that moment. I went home, I talked to that kid, and then I come to find out there were murals drawn, and I saw some of those, and I'm thinking, how did I not know that my son was behind some of this stuff? He doesn't demonstrate and show this talent at home. But yet, I share this story with all of us because, you know, as a child growing up, children need from you and from me as parents and grandparents. They need to know that we're proud of them. You did something right. You did something well. I am very proud of you. And yet, from that time moving forward, I just had a conversation with one of my daughters last night. She wanted my advice about something. See, now as a parent, I can't tell them what to do, so I'm their advisor. And she came to me. She wanted my advice. She wanted to know what I thought about a particular project she's working on. Of course, I was dead set against it, but I know her. I know her character. And I know that whatever she does, she's going to do well at it. So I couldn't say to her, just like the prayer, the opening prayer, that we speak the words of God and not our own. And we should find ourselves more and more every day reflecting the word of God. And so as I went to advise her, I had to do what my mother did to me. Mom always went to the Bible. The reason I learned and knew so much about the Bible is because that's what she used in raising me. As I began to get older, I thought, where have I heard that before? Well, Mom used to say this. She got it right out of the Bible. Little did I know, she was teaching me from this book. And so I began to learn and pick things up a little quicker because of the fact that I've heard it pretty much all my life. Well, family, one of the greatest, and I do say this in all sincerity, one of the greatest part of the journey that I'm on now is the fact that no matter what went right or wrong in my life as a kid growing up to today, the one grounded foundation that I had was God's word. And staying with the church of God, staying committed, staying focused. Everything else in my life could have fallen apart, but there was one thing that I knew that will stand no matter what, and that is God's word. God's word. What kept you growing and going to be where you are today? How is it that you have survived the trials of the journey of your life and moving forward? What kept you grounded? Was it the teachings of your parents? Was it the teachings of the church? Was it the teaching of God's word? What kept you grounded? What kept you moving forward? What kept you alive today? And today, I can't go back and blame the fact that, oh, I didn't have a father, so this is why I do the things I do wrong, because I had no guidance. Can't use that excuse, because that's what that is. So this afternoon, family, let's gain an understanding together of what our Father meant when he inspired his word to be shared with us, and learn the benefit in knowing that all things are possible. All things are possible. Anything that we want to do in our lives, if it's God's will, then you do it. God says, whatever you find your hands to do, what are you supposed to do? You do with all your might. You do this with all your might. You don't half do it. You do it with all your might. And having a good work ethic, you've got to put forth your heart, your whole being in to doing what needs to be done and be successful in doing it. You know, I didn't have a physical father to look down and say, you know what, son? I'm proud of you. But family, today, you and I, we have a spiritual father and brother that will look down at us today. Not looking down at us because of the fact that we have sinned, but looking down at us and saying, hey, that's my son. That's my daughter, whom I am very well pleased with. The title for the sermon this afternoon is, I Can Do All Things. I can do all things. In order to rise up and move forward on our journey, we must first believe what God says, that all things are possible. We have to believe that. So let me set some ground rules moving forward into this message. Rule number one, without Christ, we can do nothing. Without him, we cannot do anything. John 15 and verse 5, we're reminded that Jesus Christ says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And without me, you can't do nothing. This is Jesus Christ speaking to you and to me. So what this tells me is, with Christ, I can do all things. I can do all things through him who strengthens me to do these things. Now, I'm not trying to set us up for failure. I don't want you to go out here and stand on I-26, go across I-40, stand on the top of the bridge up there and say, you know what? I can fly and jump off the bridge. Because Pete said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, that's not what this is all about. Because if you jump off that bridge, here's what you're going to hear. Bump, bumps. Thumpity bump, 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 splat. And you're going to lay there and say, Pete set me up for failure. No, you set yourself up for failure. This is not about us setting ourselves up for failure. This is about God's people picking up the pieces of their lives and moving forward. Because we as a people have a tendency of always wanting to quit, want to give up, because life has beaten us down. Things didn't go our way. Something happened. God didn't answer my prayer. God promised to see me through, and he didn't. Who says that he didn't? Because something didn't work out in your favor, so now we go blame God for this? Did we ever stop to think, maybe, just maybe, God said no because he knew how that would affect you. If I bless you with this, we will forget him. We will turn our backs on him because we think on our own, oh, I got it made. And yet Christ tells us, rule number one, without Christ, we can do nothing. Rule number two, we are told, and we sing about this, seek first the kingdom of God as we move forward. Matthew 6 and verse 33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. We have to seek God first. We have to make God a part of our plan. Whatever it is that we want to do in moving forward on this journey, we have to make God a part of the plan. If we don't make God a part of the plan, then all other things can be possible as well. Just like all good things are possible, all bad things can be possible as well. We as God's people are given the tools for our personal lives and our personal growth and our spiritual growth to move forward. But we have to use the tools and we have to know what the rules are. Last rule, rule number three, as we begin to move forward on this journey of understanding that I can do all things. Rule number three, we must believe that all things are possible. Christ says, Hebrews 11 verse 6, he says, without faith is impossible to please him. And if we come to him, we must know and believe that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So family, do we believe that all things are possible? You know, the Apostle Paul, let's take a look at Philippians 4 and verse 10. Philippians 4 and verse 10, let's read here what the Apostle Paul is telling us. He says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last of your care for me, it has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked the opportunity. Not that I speak in regards to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. Paul says, no matter how you find me, I'm going to be content. He says, I know how to be abased. In other words, I know how to be humble. I know how to be lowly, and I know how to abound. I know how to flourish. I know how to prosper. I know how to do it in both. Being humble and being in a prosperous position. Everywhere and all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. Paul says, I know about being hungry, and I know about my body being satisfied with food. And he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do we believe that? Do we actually believe that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us? Family, what is it that you would like to do? What is it that you have put either in your bucket list or that you have said, you know what, today I'm going to start something new. I'm going to start working on a better me today than I was yesterday. What things, family, do you need to overcome? Do you need to overcome fear? What are your fears? What things are you afraid of? Do you need to overcome anger? Do you need to get your emotions in control? And you haven't began to work on them. Because every time you start, something else happens and you fall back. You fall back. Do you need to increase your income? Would you like to run a marathon? It's not impossible. One of the things that we as God's people cannot do is sit back and say, because of how old I am, or because of the aches and pains that I have, or because of what I'm lacking here or lacking there, if you have the desire and the will, and this is what's important, if you have the desire and the will to do something, then family, get up and do it. It's not going to be easy. I had to learn that the hard way. I was telling Martha earlier about the mistake I made just recently. In my efforts in losing weight, I've had to come to that realization for myself and say, okay, you know what? I'm tired of making excuses on, you know, why I'm not losing weight. Going to do it. And then start losing weight. Someone came up to me, now you need to add a little exercise to that. Well, see, now it's a bit much. You want me to exercise? 63 years old. Now, I'm not about to go out here in the gym and try to hang around with those 20-year-olds, but I made a mistake and did that. So I told one of my coworkers that I've got this weight loss program going on, and I saw her going out and walk. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start walking with you. What a mistake that was. But I opened my mouth, and I committed myself to doing this. So I went out on our lunch hour, and we started walking. And we walked. And we walked. And I realized how badly out of shape I was. I didn't think I was that badly out of shape. I was dying. She's walking, and I'm huffing and puffing. You'd have thought I smoked cigarettes all my life the way I was huffing and puffing out there. And I looked over, I said, man, I said, how long have we been walking? She said, oh, come on, Petey, 2 minutes. I'm like, really? So are you trying to kill me? She says, no, you're just out of shape. Keep going. I don't know if I can do this. This was not a good idea. I want to take back my words. No, you are going to stay with this, and you're going to walk this mile. You sure? Hold on 1 second. I'm going to call for Uber. But here was the thing. I was determined that I'm going to lose that weight. And whatever it takes for me to do it, I'm going to do it. And I've watched this little 26-year-old go out in the rain and walk. She would come by my office. I said, "It's raining." Okay. You know, so she has all my excuses. So she'll send me a message and says, "No more excuses." And she's right. Because you know what we do? We make excuses for why we can't do something. I'm too old. My knees are hurt. Oh, I got to watch the baby today. Well, you know what? I'll watch the baby today. You go do something that you want to do or you need to do. You see, God is working with a church of can-do people, not I can't do it. We have examples of Israel constantly griping and complaining about what they can't do. Family, today has to be a beginning, a new beginning for you and me to be able to move forward in our lives in understanding that with God, I can do all things. I can overcome. I can overcome my fears. I can overcome my anger. I can overcome my frustrations. But you see, he has to be a part of the plan. Other people are looking at you and me because of who we are and what we say that we believe as a people. Do our lives reflect Jesus Christ on a daily basis? Or do our lives reflect us with that I can't do spirit? When Christ returns, the concern is, how is he going to find his people? Will he find us sitting around saying, "Well, I was going to try today, but it didn't happen. Or I was going to do that. Well, I had intentions of doing this or that or the other." Not a one of us in this room can use our health, our age, as an excuse not to grow, not to move forward, not to be overcomers. Family, we have to rise up. There is a world out here looking and waiting for you and for me and for the return of Jesus Christ. So what type of people are we going to be in serving those individuals? What type of people are we today in front of those people who are watching, who are listening to you? You know, I've got an office staff that watches every day, waiting on Pete to die out there walking around that complex. That is my charge and my energy because I'm using that for fuel to tell myself every day, you got to do it because they're watching. They're listening. And I've got God on my side because he says that if I come to him, I must believe that he's going to help me. You have to believe the same thing. And moving forward, whatever it is, do you want to be a better husband? Do you want to be a better wife? Do you want to be a better parent? Do you want to be a better grandparent? As it was being brought out in the sermonette, there are things, family, you're still alive. You still have, you're breathing in and out. We still have a responsibility to work. And that work that we have to do, what did the Bible tell us? Those with that gray hair doesn't mean that you can sit back and do nothing. Because we're told that the older women are supposed to do what? Go to work. What are they supposed to be doing? Teaching the younger women. What are the older men supposed to be doing? As Peter tells us. Sit back, lay back in your recliner, doing nothing? No. The Bible teaches us that you old men are to be teaching who? The younger men. We have a responsibility. And we can't sit back and say, "I've lived my life. I'm done. This is all for you young people." Well, that's not what the Bible says. We have a responsibility to continue to teach, to educate, and to train. Family, anything that we desire to do, and if it's done with the right motivation and the right spirit, God will help you. He will give you that help. What did we learn about Peter? When the disciples, as the story is shown to us here in Matthew 14, in verses 22 and 23. You remember the account. There was Christ out on the water. The disciples looked up and saw him. They thought, you know, it was a ghost. So they were frightened. And Christ said to them, "Don't be afraid. It is I, the Lord said. And so what did Peter say? He says, "If it be you, Master, then bid me to come out to you. Command me to come out to you." Now, this is a big charge. You know, be careful what you wish for. So what did Christ tell Peter? Come on. So Peter gets out of the boat. And the scriptures tell us that Peter walked on the water. So when we ask God for something, be willing to go all the way. Don't allow fear to overcome us to the place where we don't achieve the goal. Because why ask him if you're not going to do it? It's not going to be easy. No matter what we do, it's not going to be easy. But we have to put forth that effort because we've gone before the throne of God and we've asked him for the help. And he says, "Okay, I will help you." And so here was Peter. He wanted to walk on the water. Christ says, "Come on out. Come on." So he did. But Peter became afraid when he saw the water spraying all around him. He saw the elements that were not in his control, but yet they were in the master's control. And the master was not going to let him fall. But because of his doubt and his fear, Peter went down. We do the same thing because of our doubts and fears. We'll get started with something and then we'll stop. You know, wives make all these jokes about, "Yeah, you know, my husband started that project 2 years ago. Yeah, he'll probably get it done, I guess, before the millennium. I don't know, but, you know, I'll keep encouraging him. You know, well, my wife started that breakfast yesterday. I'm waiting on the rest of it to be finished. I'm hoping that it'd be soon because I'm still hungry from yesterday." Whatever we put our hands to do, follow through. Do it. Wife tells her husband, "Change the baby's diaper." Husband goes and looks at the diaper. He starts to change it. But when he realized what that kid has done, he found something else to go do. And now she's upset because when she went back to that little one still has that soiled diaper on. And she's not happy with the husband. Well, he's going to be okay with that for the moment because he didn't have to endure that environmental nightmare that he was going to have to experience. But you see, family, whatever we have a desire to do, get God involved and do it. Do it. Whatever you find your hands to do, you do it with all your might. As an advisor to my kids, this is the message that I share with them. Not my words, but God's word. But God's word. So Peter, he doubted God. And down he went. Family, I know that our ultimate goal is to be in the kingdom of God. That's our ultimate goal. What are we doing on this journey to get there? What are we doing? What examples are we setting? What kind of life are we leading? Do we have that "I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me" attitude? Or do we have that, "God's not going to do this. God's not going to do that"? Do we give up? Do we stay in the fight? Do we keep going? Do we keep growing? Do we keep overcoming? God wants his people to have a can-do spirit. Matthew 3, verse 17. Matthew 3 and verse 17. Jesus Christ set an example for you and for me. He set an example. Let's go to verse 13. Matthew 3, and let's start in verse 13. Jesus came to Galilee to John at the Jordan for John to baptize him. And John tried to prevent this baptism. John's like, you know, you're Christ, you're coming to me to be baptized? What are you doing? Verse 15, Jesus said to him, permit me to do so, for this is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. He went to explain to John that it is proper for him to be baptized. You know, did Christ sin that he need to be baptized? Christ set a precedent here for you and for me to follow. He has given us many examples for us to live by. Verse 16, when he had baptized Jesus, and Jesus came up from out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came down from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, of whom I am well pleased. He was pleased with what his Son had done. When you and I were baptized, guess what? The Father was pleased with you and me. Whether no one else said, you know what, I'm proud of you for making that step. When I got baptized, I was 16 years old. And my peers came to me and said, are you nuts? Why would you do such a thing? Well, it wasn't between me and them. It was between me and God. It was between me and God. And that relationship has lasted throughout the years. I'm still right here. Still growing, still overcoming. Like I said in the beginning, there's one thing in my life that I know is right. That's the Word of God. Everything else can be kind of messed up, but not the Word of God. This is where our strength and our help comes from. Family, we need to set goals for ourselves. Small goals. My goal is not to run a marathon. I'm telling you that right now. Now, should something happen and you find out that I ran a marathon, it was not, and I want to put that little disclaimer here, it was not my goal. Maybe somewhere down the road, you know, I got talked into it or something, but yet that's not my goal. The goal is to lose the weight, to feel better, to be healthier, using God's word to do that in which I need to do. I'm not on crazy diets. The Bible teaches us to do what? To do things what? In balance, moderation. The examples are right here. I'm not hanging out at the gym, sweating and huffing and puffing and trying to keep up with everyone else. No. No. We have a spiritual walk with Jesus Christ. Walk. See that word? Walk. We can get out and walk. And when we walk, we can meditate. And when we meditate, guess what? You've walked a mile. You've walked 2 miles. And you don't realize that you've done that. We watch our diets. I'm not going to say, I'm not eating that pizza tonight. I'm not going to eat the whole entire pizza tonight. But I'm going to have a piece of that pizza. I'm not going to deny myself, you know, having a slice of pizza. I'm just going to deny myself. I'm taking the whole pizza and sitting down with it and not sharing it with anyone. This is mine. I've shared pizza with the kids for years. I get to enjoy this myself. I'd order a pizza and the kids would sit there and destroy it. Take off the olives, take off the mushrooms. They'll sit there and just destroy the pizza. And I look at that thing, I'm thinking, are you kidding me? So then what they have left is just dough and cheese. Now, I don't know why I just didn't order that for them and the other for me, but you learn. We have to set goals, family, and begin to work towards those goals. The other thing we can't do is we can't let obstacles in our way stop us and prevent us from moving forward. What obstacles stop you from moving forward? Someone looking at you saying, you can't do that. That'll never happen. Oh, you don't have the will. You'll fail. For me, that's fuel. I use that to energize my mind and my body to be determined, I'm going to do it. I will do it because now the challenge is on. Or maybe you have what we call a Goliath in your path, stopping you, preventing you. But God says, I am with you. He says he's going to help us. He says he'll never forsake us. Why can't we take God at his word and move forward with our lives? Move forward with the goals that we have set. The things that we said, hey, I'm not going to do this because I've made up my mind. I'm going this direction. I'm taking God with me. And if you're going to take God with you, believe that God is going to be with you all the way. And the only way we're going to find that out is we're going to have to do it. We have to do it. We can't give up. We can't throw in the towel. And we can't let others talk us out of what we're trying to accomplish. A 95-year-old woman goes back to college to get her bachelor's degree that she never received. Why? Why? Why does she do this? You're 95 years old. You've lived your life. It's something that she wanted to do. And she didn't let anyone stop her from doing it. And she graduated with high honors at 95 years old. Another 90-year-old woman decided she was going to run one of the marathons. Her friend said, you're going to die before you get through the first mile. She made it all the way. She completed the entire run. But people said she couldn't do it because of her age, because of her health. And family, I'm looking at you and me today. What is stopping us and preventing us from moving forward? We are a church that is supposed to be moving forward. And yet, we're laying down. We're giving up. We haven't thrown in the towel yet, but it's on its way. But the encouragement today is to rise up, family, to rise up and to use God and take him at his word and move forward. Move forward. Make a commitment and stick to it. Make a commitment and stick to it. Let's go over to 1 Samuel. Let's pick up a story. Let's pick up the story about a giant, a Philistine, and a young kid. Where here, we're going to see in this story, in 1 Samuel 17, we're going to see where Saul and Israel were being defeated by the Philistines. And the thing that had them at bay was because of a tall, statured individual, a man named Goliath. They were afraid of Goliath. They couldn't move forward. They were at an impasse. You had the Philistines on one side, you had Israel on the other side, and you had Goliath in the middle. And Saul and his armies became afraid because they saw this man who stood 9 feet tall, who had all this armor on. He had a shield. He had a spear. They were afraid. But the interesting thing about Israel, as we go back and we continue to read stories about Israel, God had them taken care of every step of the way. He took care of them. But every step of the way, they had that I can't do it spirit. I can't move forward. Why? Because of what was in front of them. What is in front of you right now, stopping you from moving forward? What is it? So we go on, and I'm just going to pick up the pieces in the story for the sake of time. But here is David. He goes down, and he tells Saul that he's going to go out, and he's going to take care of this Philistine, this giant, this Goliath. Now, what makes David different than Saul and his armies, and even his brothers who were there fighting alongside of Saul? What makes this kid, this teenage boy, what makes him any different than the rest of them? Well, you see, David knew that God was with him. Why didn't Saul know that? Why didn't Israel believe that God was going to see them through this battle? Why did he just kind of give up and lay off to the side over here and cry, woe is me? So God had to move David because he used David. So when David went before Saul and he said, I'm going to go to this Philistine, you know, and I'm going to take him down. Saul said, dude, who are you? You're just a kid. And what are you going to do? I've got this whole army over here. You just go. I'll tell you what. Tell you what. Go ahead. You're the man. Go ahead. And may God be with you. And David says, hey, listen. God was with me when I was tending the sheep. And a bear came down. And a lion came down. And stole, you know, from the herd. He said, I went after the bear. I went after the lion. And God, being with him, allowed him to return the sheep back to the fold. At the same time, David killed both lion and the bear. David knew who was with him. And that giant was no match for him. That's the way David saw it. David was like, I can do this, and I'm going to do it. And Saul says, all right, go ahead. It's your funeral, buddy. Go right ahead. And so David did. And even Goliath made fun of David. Remember? He made fun of David. He says, you don't come at me with sticks? Who are you? And yet, he was the one that God was using to defeat Goliath so that Israel could move forward. So Saul decided he wanted David to put on the armor. David says, I can't wear this thing. It doesn't work for me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to use the weapons that I'm familiar with. What Saul was doing was sending David into a battle with armor that David's never tried, he's never used before. That's like today, young men going into battle. Someone walk up to them and say, hey, here, use my gun. Oh, that's a nice gun. Yeah, here, you take my gun and use my gun. Oh, thank you, I appreciate that. And you go out to battle. Now it's time for you to fire that weapon. You don't know how to use the weapon. You never tested that weapon. You don't know what it can do. So you're going into battle with a weapon that you're not familiar with. And this is what Saul was trying to do with David. David said here, he said, hey, I can't wear this. You know? So he's going out with God with him to defeat Goliath. And family, we know the story as it's captured here in 1 Samuel 17. He threw one rock that sank into the head, the forehead of Goliath. What is your Goliath? What's standing in front of you? Is it you? Is it the reflection of yourself? When you look in the mirror, do you see yourself or do you see Goliath? Or do you see God with you, letting you know that you can do this? Because you can do all things through me, because I will strengthen you. Join me over to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. Here again, let's go back here. Let's do pick this story up. Let's read it together. Isaiah 41, let's go to verse 10. Here's what God is telling Jacob. He says, fear not. He says, for I am with you. He says, don't be dismayed. In other words, you know, don't be afraid. Don't let your confidence fall down. He says, fear not, for I am with you. This is what he is telling you and me today. Don't have any fear. Because why? I didn't give you the spirit of fear. So fear not, don't be dismayed, because I am with you. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. And this is what God is telling you and me today. Whatever it is that you're striving to do in moving forward on this journey, God is saying, I am with you. I am your God. Don't be afraid. Rise up, move forward. He says, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all of those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed. You see this? Everybody that's against you and don't believe in you and don't have faith and confidence in you moving forward, they're going to be ashamed. Why? Because you took God with you and you succeeded in moving forward and achieving the goal. They will be ashamed and they will be disgraced. they shall be as nothing. And those who strive with you, they shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing. Can we take even these words and apply them to our own personal life and our own personal goals and move forward? Knowing and believing. You remember the rules, the ground rules? If I go before God, I got to believe that He is God. Verse 13, he says, "For I, the Lord, your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you." Now, verse 14 really kind of sets the tone for you and me today, as it did for Jacob back then. He says, "Fear not, you worm." Jacob, worm, that's the heavy. That's kind of harsh, don't you think? He called him a worm. Well, let's stop and think about it. Let's not point our finger at Jacob here. What are we doing today? What does a worm do? Just lays around. He kind of slithers here and there. Doesn't have any goal. Doesn't have a purpose. But you see, God referenced a worm in this comment to Jacob. Let me ask us a question. Are we being a worm? Are we being a worm? God is reminding Jacob, and he's reminding you and me today. He says, "I will help you. I will help you." Do we trust him? Do we believe that? Or family, have we just given up? What's stopping us from moving forward? What's stopping us from achieving that goal? What's on that bucket list? Other than, I'm going to kick the bucket. I was teasing one of the ladies, one of the widows in Knoxville. I told her, I said, "Hey," she says, "how are you doing that walking?" I said, well, I've been walking around the block a few times. She said, "Well, good for you." I said, "And one day I just decided to pick the block up, throw it back in my car, and go on about my business." I was over that. Oh, she caught that just like that. But you know, even the lesson that was learned here with David, Saul had to go back and ask his leader. He says, "Who is this guy, David? Who is he that he would go out and slay this Philistine?" Well, David said he was a servant. He was a servant. He wasn't a war hero. He was a servant. We're servants of God. We're disciples of Jesus Christ. Do we believe, family, that God can strengthen us to do the impossible? Have you tried it? So you can't answer that question unless you've tried it. You cannot answer that question until you've gone out here. And I don't mean just, "Well, I tried it, didn't work." No, I mean put everything that you have into moving forward and achieving the goal. You can't quit. You can't throw in the towel. And those moments when you feel like you want to do it is the moment where you need to dig down deeper, pick yourself up and say, "Okay, God, I need your help now because I can't do it without you." And God looks down and says, "I've got you. All you have to do is rise up." We will never know until we rise up, family. We will never know what God can do with us until we rise up. Others, as they look at you and me, do they see Christ in us? Or do they see a quitter? Do they see a worm? "Oh, I knew he couldn't do it." What do they see? Are you letting that light shine? Proverbs 3 and verse 5. You don't have to turn there. David says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In everything that you do, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. He says, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Make God a part of the process. He's not going to let you down. He won't disappoint you. There might be some roads that you will turn and he will say no. But that was just that road. That is not the key to say, all right, well, God's not with me. God's not for me. Evidently, you know, this is not what I'm supposed to do. No, this door was not open for you. So you keep moving forward until you find the door that God has opened for you. You keep going. You keep growing. The kingdom is not here. We have not been called to quit, to give up, to throw in the towel. We have been called to endure. We have been called to encourage each other. When you see your brother or sister down, you help them up. You encourage them. We keep each other moving forward. If we have to carry each other for a minute, then let's do so. Because the kingdom has not arrived yet. It hasn't arrived. Do not let. I've got a young man on my job. I had to terminate him. I had to terminate him because of the fact that for him to do the job successfully that I needed him to do, he couldn't read. And he faked everything that he did. I couldn't use him for the job that we hired him for initially because there's a computer in that truck and he has to be able to read the information and he has to be able to respond to that information. Everything was going along fine until we put in a different system. Then that's when the telltale signs came. But when he came in and he told me truthfully what was going on with him, I was moved by the fact that he's even made it this far in life, not being able to read. He can't read. So I found a job that he could do. That man puts his whole heart into this position. And I sat with him and I asked him, how have you made it this far not being able to read? His response was, I didn't let that stop me. I didn't let that stop me. Just because I couldn't read. I said, do you try? He says, yes, I do. I try. But I think he's 41 years old now. This is the hardest working man that we have in our office. But yet he can't read. But he doesn't let that stop him from moving forward. It's a disability, but it hinders him in doing nothing. He grows every day. You know what? I learn from this man every day about that can-do spirit. He doesn't have God's Holy Spirit. We do. And it's interesting to me that this man has a will, a desire, not to give up, not to throw in the towel, not to quit. But yet here we are as God's people. Family, what are we doing? What are we doing? It's time for you and me to continue to move forward, but we've got to rise up. Psalm 121, just jot that down. Psalm 121, David says, I lift up my eyes to the hills for where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your feet to be moved. He who keeps you does not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel, he never slumbers, nor does he sleep. You see, we can rely on him night and day. He doesn't need rest. We do. So I have this question for us. If you can't sleep at night, you're tossing and turning, you're flopping back and forth, and you're worried about something that you should put in God's hand, can I ask us a question? If God never slumbers or sleep, what are we doing awake? What are we doing awake? We look to the hills, as David says, from where our help comes from. So if God's going to help us, there's no need for me and God both to be awake. You get the point? We worry a lot. And if we put the matter in God's hand, and David tells us he never slumbers, he never sleeps, guess what you all need to do tonight? Go get in that bed, curl up with that pillow, and go to sleep. God's got this. He's got it. Now, family, there are those things in our lives that we must do that God will not do for us, because it requires us to put forth that effort to move forward. And then there are those things that we can't do for ourselves that God has to step up to the plate and to do. And God will. God will step up to serve us. But will we step up to serve him? This is about us moving forward. And family, this message is a message of encouragement to you and to me to rise up, to set goals. Don't allow any part of your life to be a hindrance of you moving forward. Don't say to yourself, I can't do this because. What were the rules? Without Christ, I can do nothing. But with him, I can do all things. And until you prove that, you can't say he won't do it, because you haven't proved him. Prove God. He wants us to prove him. What was the second rule? Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek God and his righteousness. And he says that all things will be added unto you. Have you tried this? Have you proven this? Rule number three, and we must believe that all things are possible. That means if I go before God and I ask God for help. Now, family, in my own personal life, there have been a lot of things that have happened and gone wrong that God was aware of and he allowed to happen. Does that mean he doesn't love me anymore? Does that mean he's not proud of me anymore? Have I disappointed him in some kind of way? You see, that's the feelings that we get. We feel like, oh man, you know, I've disappointed God here. So he doesn't love me anymore, so he's not going to do this. And he's allowing me to lose this, he's allowing me to lose that. I've lost a lot of things over the years. Not because of the fact that God doesn't love me, but because of the fact that God had another plan. My will was to continue to seek him, so I knew what that plan was. He has a plan for you and for me, and moving forward. He wants us to have a good life. He wants us to have things, but he doesn't want us to have these things before him. If these things are more important than our relationship with him, then guess what? We'll find ourselves losing things. We'll find ourselves losing things. Put God first. Keep him first. Make him a part of your plans daily. Whatever it is that you want to do, strive to do it with his help. If it's time to overcome, family, come on, let's rise up. Let's take God with us and let's start the process today. Don't put this off tomorrow. As you're journeying home this evening, each one of us in our mind know there's something I need to do and I'm just not doing it. Let's make up our minds today that we're going to pick it up and we're going to move forward with Jesus Christ and God supporting us every step of the way, and believe that he will give us that help. He will strengthen each and every one of us in our endeavors as we continue to journey on this road towards God's kingdom. And until we prove that, family, I'm going to leave this one thought. It's a very negative thought, because I don't like to be called a worm. Do you?